Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
Several months ago, in trying to plan what I felt would be valuable for the congregation, I tried to look at the kind of things that you and I individually must face. There are all kinds of challenges that we face with regards to our faith. There are people who will teach things they ought not. There are people who will allow sin to creep into their lives and allow it to cause them to fall away from the Lord. But one of the real problems that we face is the fact that we all get tired. We all find ourselves becoming weary. And as Paul writes the Galatians in Galatians 6 and verse 9, he said, "And let us not be weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart or we faint not." This morning I'd like to begin by asking what you call it when you are ready to give up. I tried to make a list of some synonyms to giving up or to being weary, and the first one that comes to mind is that of burnout. How many people have you known who've burned out in their lives? Give out. My grandfather used to come in and say, "I am just give out. I'm worn out." Broken down. People who've allowed the difficulties of life to break them and they're broken down. Exhausted. I've expended all of my energy. I'm worn out. I'm fatigued. I'm just plain old tired. As you look around about you, I want you to think about your life, your spiritual life individually. Are you tired? Are you exhausted? Are you nearly burned out? That's what Paul was trying to address among the Galatians. As you start thinking about it and you start trying to look at what professions in life that have a lot of burnout, I think we can start seeing some valuable lessons. If you look at the literature, they make a list of all those professions that people struggle with and have difficulty with. And at the very top of the list are teachers. School teachers have a difficult time because as they do their job week by week, month after month, year by year, they often find themselves tired and weary and burned out. That's one of the reasons why there's a constant amount of in-service and meetings and things to encourage and uplift teachers, prepare them to keep their enthusiasm up. The second is social workers. Those people who have to work with people who are poor, people who are hurting, people who are infirm in a number of different ways, they find themselves burning out. The third area that is found in secular jobs is that of law enforcement. People who have to have a lot of energy and they have to be emotionally involved in what they're doing often will burn out. In fact, one of the psychological websites I read said that people with a lot of emotional output, people who are givers, find themselves burning out very quickly. Now, my point is that describes a Christian. The Bible teaches us that, as Jesus Himself taught in Acts chapter 20, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We're to be givers. We're to be teachers. We're to be social workers in the sense that we're to be caring about the needs and the difficulties of people in life. We're to be the kind of people who do that. And so with that in mind, what I'd like to do is take Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, and I'd like for us first of all to look at a review of those who get weary. Those kind of people who find themselves struggling. And then second of all, I would like for us to look at reviving the weary. If I am tired and I am burnt out, what is it going to take to try to rebuild the fire in me? What is it going to take to try to get me to be the kind of dedicated, serving, loyal person that I ought to be? This lesson is not about shaming. this lesson is about encouraging. This is trying to see if this fits me, does it fit you, and then try to do something about it. The very first thing that I think is obvious is those who have served a long time get weary. I'd like for you to open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And in this context, I will tell you that the verses that precede verse 8, our Lord talks about a man who was a landowner, owned a vineyard, and he needed workers in his vineyard. And so what he did, he went to the marketplace to try to find workers. And in fact, today, if you go to Jerusalem, you go outside the Damascus Gate, there's a large area where daily workers gather so that if someone needs a worker, he comes and he says, "Do you have a job?" "No, I don't have a job." "Well, come work for me today. I'll pay you this much." And this man went out early in the morning. He found men there and he asked them to come and to work for him. And they did. He went out because he needed more workers at several points during the day and tried to get more workers. Now I want you to notice at the end of the day, beginning with verse 8. "So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' And when those who came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, 'These men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us.'" Now, here's the part I want you to notice. "Who have borne the burden and the heat of the day." We have borne the burden. We began early in the morning and we worked hard. And we worked hard all day. We have borne the burden of the whole job is this vineyard. Maybe it's been picking the grapes. Maybe it's been carrying or transporting those grapes to the wine press. And they have done that in the heat of the day. There have been many of you sitting in the pew here who have borne the burden in the heat of the day. You've been here a long time. Some of you saw this building here erected and you helped pay for it. Some of you saw this building remodeled and you helped pay for it. Some of you have seen children grow up in this congregation, become adults. They have children and now you can even see some grandchildren of some of them. And you say, "I have been here and I've borne the burden." These people here were weary. They were tired. And the reason why is because it's been a long time. Now I want you to notice another passage of Scripture with me in the book of Numbers, chapter 21. The children of Israel are making their journey toward the promised land. And when they got to the area of Edom, God said, "You've got to go around." And it says, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the sea to go to the land of Edom, to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. Now, I'd like you to imagine if we're going to go to Nashville, most of us would either go to Manchester or Murfreesboro directly. Or we might would even go to Smithville and then go through Lebanon to go to Nashville. But what if someone says you can't go through Murfreesboro, you can't go through Lebanon, and you say, "Well, I guess I'll go to Shelbyville, and I'll go around to Columbia, and I'll come around on the west side." We have to understand, God said, you can't go through Edom, you've got to go around it. And the people became discouraged because the way became long. It was a difficult way. You know, a lot of times as people go through their lives, they find it a long journey. And let me make some application here. You know, there are a number of you who are Bible class teachers. You've been Bible class teachers here for a long time. The reason why I know that is some of you were Bible class teachers when I moved here. And you're still teaching. Some of you have invested in teaching classes week after week, month after month, year after year. And some of you may be tired. You may feel like you're burned out. You may feel like, I have borne the burden in the heat of the day. But let me tell you, you're not the only ones. A lot of the elderly members may feel that. You've cooked the meals for those who have been bereaved. You have visited those who have been in the hospitals. You've sent cards to those who are sick and those who are suffering in a number of different ways. And you have done this a long time, for many years. And it's easy for a person to think, I'm not appreciated for what I've done. I've worked hard for a long time. And essentially, in Matthew chapter 20, that's what the laborers were saying to the owner. We don't feel like we've been appreciated. Here we are, we've borne the burden, we've gone through the heat of the day, and we're tired. We're exhausted. We're worn out. And I think of what Galatians 6:9 said, and let us not be weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. When you think about others who are weary, those who have been rejected or have seen very few results, those people are easily discouraged and they're easily burned out. You know, for instance, you can look at a number of different examples in the Bible. I just want to pull out three very simple ones for you. When we look at the Old Testament of Samuel, Elijah, and Jeremiah, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, Samuel had served the Lord all his life. His mother Hannah, from the time that he was born, had promised him to the Lord. Samuel, as a small boy, was carried to the temple and served there before the Lord. Now he's an old man. Now his children are grown adults. And what happens? The children of Israel come to him and say, Samuel, we don't want you anymore. We don't want your sons. What we want is a king so that we can be like the nations round about us. And we read in verses 4 through 7, then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me that I should not reign over them. You see, sometimes when we're trying to do good, we find people don't want it. They don't like it. They don't appreciate it. You're trying to teach someone the gospel. You're trying to save their soul. And people look at you and say, I'm not interested. Or you go to 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 10. The background of this is Elijah has stood strong for the Lord. Where everybody else has been going after the gods of Baal, and they have been worshiping at the feet of Baal because of Ahab and Jezebel, Elijah stood up on Mount Carmel, stood strong for the Lord, and he was able to conquer there for the Lord. But right after that occurred, what takes place is Elijah runs and he says, Lord, it's just me. Nobody's following. Nobody's doing what's right. So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenants, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. He said, it's just me, Lord. People get burned out. They become weary when they feel like, I'm trying to serve God, I'm trying to serve God, and nobody else is helping me. Nobody else wants to do what I want to do to try to serve God. And you find people burned out. In Jeremiah chapter 20, Jeremiah was such a great servant of God. But he had such a difficult job. In chapter 20, here's the way he put it. O Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted violence and plunder. Because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. He said, I tried, but he said, what people did, they mocked me. Do you ever want to give up? When you're trying to do your very best, and nobody seems to care, nobody seems to listen, nobody seems to follow. Every one of us want to know that what we do matters. That what we try, the effort we try to put out brings forth some results. When Paul's writing the Philippians in chapter 2, verse 16, he says, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Paul said, I don't want to make these journeys from Ephesus to Philippi to Athens to Corinth and it not be worth anything. I think we need to understand that sometimes when we're working our hardest, it's easy to become discouraged and want to give up. Number three, those who are criticized want to give up and become weary. Criticism is a fact of life. Sometimes we deserve criticism. Believe me, as a preacher, I understand criticism. Sometimes it's justified. Sometimes we need to listen because people are trying to help us when they criticize. And sometimes it's just plain old wrong. Sometimes when you're trying your best to serve the Lord, people are going to look at you and say, it's not good enough. Sometimes as a Christian, when you are trying to do your best, there are going to be people there to knock you down. There's a passage of Scripture which I think is very applicable here. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and let's look at verses 6 through 8. Before I put the Scripture on the screen, I want to give you the background behind it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there's a man there who has his father's wife. Paul has commanded them to withdraw themselves from this brother, not to keep company with him. He has also said that they are to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. In other words, you've got to let this person know he's living in sin. When you get to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, this man has repented. And so what Paul writes, the punishment which was inflicted by the many or the majority is sufficient for such a man. So that on the contrary, you ought to rather forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. Notice that phrase there at the end of verse 7, that such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Here's a person who's trying. He's repented of his sins. He said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And people are saying, you're not sorry enough. Do you understand? Here's a person who finds it weary in life after they've repented genuinely. They're trying to do everything within their power to make things right. And people will still say, I don't forgive you. Those people can give up and give in. Most of the criticism leveled by those are by those who know little and do little. You want to find a person who will be criticized? You let other people who never do that job, who never participate, sit back and they'll say, you didn't do it right. You didn't do it right. Job's three friends, Bildad, Eliphaz, and Zophar, looked at Job and said, Job, you're suffering. And Job said, you've never been in my shoes. You've never known what it is to be where I am. When the way gets tough, many want to give up as well. In Acts 15, verses 37 through 39, John Mark was on the first missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. When you notice what occurs, they come to Perga and Pamphylia. And for us, that's just the name of a place, but you go there and you'll find it's a different place. They've come across the island of Cyprus, and they have now arrived at Perga, and standing in front of them are the Taurus Mountains. And John Mark said, you mean we've got to go that way? Those are mountains there. Do you not see them? They're mountains. Paul and Barnabas, yes, they're mountains, and that's the way we're going. We're going to Antioch, to Lystra, Iconium, to Derbe. And John Mark said, this is not what I signed up for. I quit. I go back home. When you come to Acts 15, Luke says, now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. You find some people when it's tough, they say, I quit, I'm burned out already. Israel, in Deuteronomy chapter 20, are ready to go into the promised land. And what does Moses say to them? He says, and you shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Do not be afraid and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. Here's the battle in front of you, just like the mountains were in front of John Mark. And he says, don't give up before the battle begins. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Now this takes place especially when a person's facing major problems. They're facing sickness. They're facing all kinds of difficulties in their life. Can you serve the Lord when you've lost your job? Can you serve the Lord when you have problems and difficulties in your life? Yes. Because there are other opportunities open to you that you may not realize. Verse 10 still says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those who are the household of faith. Very quickly, reviving the weary. One of the greatest things to help us is to see that the end is in sight. Chapter 6, 7 and 8 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. John 9, 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. For the night is coming when no man can work. You've got to work while you have the opportunity. I can see the night is coming. It's in front of me. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The second thing, and I guess if I look at all the lessons of reviving, this is probably it. And that is rest. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 31, the Lord had His apostles there with Him. They had been busy doing everything that the Lord wanted them to do. Daily they were going about teaching in the various villages. And it had gotten so difficult. Here's what we find in verse 31. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. Jesus said, there's a time and there's a place to rest, to take a rest. And then tying that to Matthew 11, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What Jesus is saying, we will work together as a team, like a team of mules or a team of oxen, put their heads together in a yoke. And He says, you put yours in with me and you'll find that I'll give you some rest. You plow with me and you will find that I will give you an easy yoke to bear. One of the greatest things that we can do is realize we're working with God as much as we're working for God. One can realize that he's doing good. 1 Timothy 6:18 says, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share as every opportunity provides itself. Acts 10:38 tells us about Jesus, that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, talks about the people who do that they will receive eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality. And then look at Jesus. I wish I had time to review all of Hebrews 12. But Hebrews 12:3 says, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. I can look at Jesus and I can see what he did, what he faced. And I can take encouragement to say, as you go back to the verse that just precedes Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Are you feeling burned out, ready to give up? I dare say this morning that a lot of you, when I began the lesson, to say, you know what, that sort of fits me. I sort of feel like I've let things down in my life because I've become tired and weary. Well, let me point out to Jesus, to you, to come to Jesus, because He will bear your burdens and He will give you rest. You can put your faith, your confidence in Him and know that the way will be easier if you're working with Him and for Him. And then finally to remember that heaven awaits the faithful followers of the Lord. I wish that I could give you a glimpse this morning into the eternity that awaits us. I wish that I could show you all the glory, the grandeur of the Lord as He sits on the throne and all of the wonderful blessings that you and I will enjoy by being there with Him. And then you would say, heaven will surely be worth it all. If you're not a Christian, we're going to sing the invitation song. If you need to become a Christian because of your faith, repentance, confession, come forward, we'll baptize you. And you can leave this place knowing that the Lord is your Savior.